Chapter 10. Admin Cross Sticks. My grandfather heard old Squire Cass say, so many and many a time. But ride he would, as if old Harry had been a-driving him, and he'd a son, a lad o' 16, and nothing would his father have him do, but he must ride, and ride though the lad was frighted, they said. And it was a common saying as the father wanted to ride the tailor out o' the lad, and make a gentleman on him not, but what I'm a tailor myself, but in respect as God made me such, I'm proud on it, for, a say, tailor, S been rode up over our door since afore the Queen's heads went out on the shillings. But Cliff, he was ashamed o' being called a tailor, and he was sore vexed as his riding was laughed at, and nobody o' the gentle folks hereabout could abide him. Howsomever, the poor lad got sickly and died, and the father didn't live long after him, for he got queerer nor ever, and they said he used to go out i' the dead o' the night, why a lantern in his hand, to the stables, and set a lot o' lights burning, for he got as he couldn't sleep, and there he'd stand, cracking his whip and looking at his horses, and they said it was a mercy as the stables didn't get burnt down why the poor dumb creatures in them. But at last he died raving, and they found as he'd left all his property, warrens and all, to a London charity, and that's how the warrens come to be charity land. Though, as for the stables, Mr. Lameter never uses them, they're out o' all character, lor' bless you, if he was to set the doors a-banging in them, it 'ud sound like thunder afore the parish. Aye, but there's more going on in the stables than what folks see by daylight, eh, Mr. Macy? Said the landlord. Aye, go that way of a dark night, that's all, said Mr. Macy, winking mysteriously, and then make believe, if you like, as you didn't see lights i' the stables, nor hear the stamping o' the horses, nor the cracking o' the whips, and howling too, if it's toward daybreak. Lift's holiday has been the name of it ever since I were a boy. That's to say, some said as it was the holiday old Harry Jev him from roasting, like. That's what my father told me, and he was a reasonable man, though there's folks nowadays know what happened afore they were born better, nor they know their own business. What do you say to that, eh, Dowlas? Said the landlord, turning to the farrier, who was swelling with impatience for his cue. There's a nut for you to crack. Mr. Dowlas was the negative spirit in the company, and was proud of his position. Say? I say what a man should say as doesn't shut his eyes, to look at a finger post. I say, as I'm ready to wager any man £10, if he'll stand out why me any dry night in the pasture before the warren stables, as we shall neither see lights nor hear noises, if it isn't the blowing of our own noses. That's what I say, and I've said it many a time, but there's nobody'll venture a £10 note on their gusses as they make so sure of. Why, Dowlas, that's easy betting, that is, said Ben Winthrop. You might as well bet a man as he wouldn't catch the rheumatize, if he stood up to his neck in the pool of a frosty night. It 'ud be fine fun for a man, to win his bet as he'd catch the rheumatize. Folks as believe in Cliff's holiday aren't a-going to venture near it for a matter o' £10. If Master Dowlas wants to know the truth on it, said Mr. Macy, with a sarcastic smile, tapping his thumbs together, he's no call to lay any bet, let him go, and stand by himself, there's nobody'll hinder him, and then he can let the parishioners know if they're wrong. Thank you. I'm obliged to you, said the farrier, with a snort of scorn. If folks are fools, it's no business o' mine. I don't want to make out the truth about gosses. I know it arity. But I'm not against a bet everything fair and open. Let any man bet me £10 as I shall see Cliff's holiday, and I'll go, and stand by myself. I want no company. I'd as lief do it as I'd fill this pipe. Ah, but who's to watch you, Dowlas, and see you do it? That's no fair bet, said the butcher. No fair bet? Replied Mr. Dowlas, angrily. Should like to hear any man stand up, and say I want to bet unfair. Come now, Master Lundy, I should like to hear you say it. Very like you would, said the butcher. But it's no business o' mine. You know my bargains, and I are they going to try and bait your price. If anybody ll bid for you at your own volleying, let them. I'm for peace and quietness, I am. Yes, that's what every yapping cur is, when you hold a stick up at them, said the farrier. But I'm afraid o' neither man nor ghost, and I'm ready to lay a fair bet. I aren't a turn-tail cur. Aye, but there's this in it, doubtless, said the landlord, speaking in a tone of much candor and tolerance. Here's folks, I my opinion, they can't see gosses, not if they stood as plain as a pike staff before 'em. And there's reason I that. For there's my wife, now, can't smell, not if she'd the strongest o' cheese under her nose. I never see it a ghost myself, but then I says to myself, very like I haven't got the smell for 'em. I mean, putting a ghost for a smell, or else contrary ways. And so, I'm for holding with both sides, for, as I say, the truth lies between 'em. And if Dowlas was to go and stand, and say he'd never seen a Wingo Cliffs Holiday all the night through, I'd back him. And if anybody said as Cliffs Holiday was certain sure, for all that, I'd back him too. For the smell's what I go by. The landlord's analogical argument was not well received by the farrier, a man intensely opposed to compromise. Tut, tut, he said, setting down his glass with refreshed irritation. What's the smell got to do with it? Did ever a ghost give a man a black eye? That's what I should like to know. If gusses want me to believe in 'em, let 'em leave off skulking I the dark, and I lone places let 'em come where there's company and candles. As if gusses 'ud want to be believed in by anybody so ignorant, said Mr. Macy, in deep disgust at the farrier's crass incompetence to apprehend the conditions of ghostly phenomena. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.